as church planting movements in order to disciple people effectively. It's not just about making converts, it's about making disciples. So the pastors and the fivefold ministry works hand in hand with the evangelists, who are also part of the fivefold, of course. So you can't just have crusades wherever you go. That has to happen, but then there has to be follow-up, there has to be discipleship, and this is where church planting comes into the picture, because the Lord showed us what it means to be shepherds, and He's called all of us to be shepherds in some capacity, to look out for our neighbor. When you really love your neighbor, then you're giving him the word of God as well. You're discipling him in some way. And sometimes we disciple people without even realizing it, because people are watching what we do. And so we're actually leading by example. And that's why we have to be very careful about how we carry ourselves and what we do and say. Because people are watching us with hawk eyes when we're at work, when we're at family gatherings and so on. And through our behavior, they might feel licensed to do certain things which maybe aren't helpful, and so we really need to realize, but there's a huge responsibility that comes with the privilege of being called a child of God. There's a huge responsibility. And so we spoke about our vision statement and the who, what, when, where, and how pertaining to that, and last week we started on our values, passion for Jesus, and people to serve, and this morning we're going to do the other two, but our values really underpin our vision statement and actually helps us to understand how we live out our vision on a day-to-day basis. What are the important principles that will govern our behavior day-to-day? What is it all about? And as we said, firstly, who it's all about is Jesus Christ. He is our motivation for being here, for gathering together, and for living our faith out the way that we do. It's out of a love for Him, and we discussed and we shared how the love that we have for Him, firstly, but secondly, for the people around us, the people that are to be served, the love that we have is from Him, and it's because He first loved us. Again, even with the love that we have, we cannot really pat ourselves on the back, because it was given to us and granted to us by the Lord. So He loved us first, and those that love much, the Bible says, are because they have been forgiven much. Those that love much have been forgiven much, and that is actually all of us. If we only knew what our sin cost the Lord, even if you had to only sin once in your life, and if you were the only person on the planet, the Lord would still have had to go to the cross for you so that you could be saved. Our sin has cost the greatest price, and therefore we can all love much. And this morning, the first value that we're going to look at now, which is the third in line, is the power of belief. The power of belief. We used to call that value the power of conviction, but it's a bit easier to understand when you say power of belief. Now, faith is powerful. There's quite a few verses that I'm going to stay for quite a while on this third value. And firstly, you know John 3:16, probably the most quoted verse in all the world. If you believe, you will not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that whosoever believes shall not perish, but have eternal life. Okay. The power that we are talking about, the power of belief, is available to everyone who believes, whosoever. It's not just a select few children of God that are predestined to do mighty works and be able to perform signs and wonders and healings and deliverances and so on and so forth. It is whosoever. The greatest miracle is that of salvation. And we can all thank the Lord this morning that we've experienced that. The greatest miracle. Saving faith If you have faith like a mustard seed, tiny, 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 the Lord says, but you can move mountains. I want to qualify that by saying where the scripture says that you, if you believe and do not doubt, and that's what a mustard seed, it doesn't have that divide down the middle, that thy psyche, that seed. It's not the dichotomous seed as some other plants have, but so it's undivided. There's no doubt there. It's just pure faith. But even though it's so small, you can do great things with it. If you believe and do not doubt. And all of us had enough faith to say yes to Jesus. And actually, that is enough faith to move a mountain. So just over 11 years ago, when I gave my heart to the Lord, I had an experience with God and committed my life to Him. If you asked me on that day to pray for a mountain to move, okay, it's not necessarily the most practical thing, or, you know, it's not the first thing that pops into your mind. But if you asked me that day to pray for a mountain, I would have, in my naivety and whatever, you know, if I thought that it could help someone and not hurt millions of people, I could have moved that mountain. Okay. And now, obviously, I mean, the Lord is telling us how powerful our faith is and what could be done if it had to. Okay. Now, we're not moving mountains because it's not required, it's not necessary, and it looks pretty good where it is right now. And there's just kind of a lot of people at the base of the mountain. But if you asked me on that day to move a mountain, I would have moved it. Faith as small as a mustard seed. If you've got enough faith for salvation, you've got enough faith to perform miracles. For the world to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord and to submit to Him, many of them need to see His power at work because they are so caught up in other powers at the moment. And so often when you come into contact with people that are tied up in other beliefs and even occultic practices, there's always this power clash. But we can know that our God is the most powerful by far. But we mustn't be intimidated. Your faith is powerful. Your faith can move mountains. Acts 4 verse 12 says that there's salvation found in no one else. No other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Jesus Christ, He's our Lord, He's our Savior. There's many gods in the world. There's one true God. That's Jesus Christ. There's many, many people have many different gods, many idols, things that they worship and lay their lives down before. You can look at how they spend their time, their money, their gifts, how they treat the people around them. And you can quickly see who and what they are worshiping. But there's one God. There's one creator of heaven and earth and of all living things. And things above the earth and below the earth, there's one God. And there's one Savior, and that is Jesus Christ. He's the one that the Lord gave to us. And so the power rests, the faith rests in Jesus Christ. The power exists in our faith in Jesus Christ. And in Mark 9, verse 23, Jesus says, but everything is possible for those who believe. Everything is possible. Right there, the disciples, they fail to deliver a boy of a mute spirit. And he was convulsing and all of these things. And the father came and came to Jesus and said, please, I need help. And the disciples didn't manage this. And Jesus said, oh, you know, why didn't you believe? Jesus cast the demon out and commanded him not to re-enter. Jesus says there to his disciples, all those who were around him at that time, but everything is possible if you believe. Everything is possible. Now the world will turn and twist scriptures like that. and they'll try and make it about your mind, you know. If you think it, you know, like the power of thought and positive thinking, and you know, many motivational speakers will even use some scriptures and so on, but they'll tweak it and twist it, and they'll make it their own. Now, God has given us a lot of ability, a lot of natural giftings and so on, which will get you far in life. But you need the power of God to exact permanent change. Even the enemy loves to exploit heresy and half-truths. And so if someone comes and sells you a half-truth, or they try and demonstrate power, but it's not in the name of Jesus, but you see, hey, but this thing is working. Yes, that is possible. The enemy is also powerful, but he's not all-powerful. And his power doesn't come close to God's power. And when he gives something, he always takes something in return, because his heart is to destroy. And so sometimes you even see what you would classify as a miracle, a good miracle, which was actually done by the power of the enemy. But you can put your money on it that that's not going to last. Somewhere down the line, that wonder, that sign will fade away. That healing will disappear and there will be sickness. Only in the name of Jesus Christ can we experience what a proper sign and wonder and miracle, permanent healing and deliverance, and these things. So Jesus encounters a centurion in Matthew chapter 8. And this guy comes up to him. The next slide there, please. And he's got a servant who's very ill at home. And he comes to Jesus and he asks for the Lord to heal his servant. And so Jesus asks him, so shall I come to your house? And he says, no, just say the word. Because I'm a man who's under authority, and I also have people under my authority, and I tell them to go here and go there, and they do what I say. And he recognized that Jesus was of God, and he obviously had heard of the things that Jesus done. And so he knew something about authority, and he realized that Jesus is so powerful, he just needs to say the word. And he felt that he's not worthy enough for this man of God to come under his roof. So Jesus can just say the word. And this centurion had faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus responds and says, truly, in verse 10, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith as this centurion. So Jesus says, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. At that moment. Let it be done just as you believed it would. You see, our faith can bring forth great things. It is also our faith that limits us at times. I remember the story that Isaac Pretorius tells. His father is... Chris Pretorius is here. his father's got a massive ministry, Jesus Alive Ministries, Peter Pretorius. And they distribute food to hundreds of thousands of people in Africa. It's a massive ministry, and they're sharing the gospel, and they are evangelists. So they're feeding the people physically and with the word of God. It's really an awesome ministry. And this is now from a couple of years back. And his son, Peter Pretorius' son, Isaac, he came and shared his testimony and a little a message at Shofar in Stellenbosch. And I was so blessed by it, so I'll never forget. And you can see Isaac he looks a little bit different. He actually was born with some congenital defects and so on. But the doctors told his parents that, you know, he's going to have to be institutionalized for the rest of his life and all of that. He's just not going to make it. You know, he's not going to amount to anything. It's kind of a write-off. You know, it was something similar to Down syndrome. And his parents just kind of came together and they said, okay, we know this is the current situation. But we believe this is not the final word on our son. We choose to stand on the word of God, where God says all things are possible and he can heal and he can restore and he can save to the uttermost. And they just started praying and speaking life over their son. And Isaac went to normal school and he's got a university degree and he's helping his father in ministry now. And I mean, you can just slightly see that, you know, that there was something there, but he's perfectly fluent and, you know, intellectual in every way. God has really blessed him and he's got a powerful ministry and full of energy. And he ministers with his dad, but he was doing this crusade. I think his dad, I don't know, it was almost unexpected. The last night of a crusade, and there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of people there, and his dad asked him to now lead it that night. And so he was leading it and bringing the message, and then afterwards there's an altar call for people to come and get healed and so on. And he just experiencing the power of God at work here, and people were getting healed. And then people brought up this old sort of crippled lady, and they put her down at the front at the stage. And Isaac, like, looked at her, and they wanted him to pray for her that she would get up and walk. And he looked at her, and suddenly his faith failed him. He didn't believe that this old lady could ever get up. He was, like, thinking, but, you know, she looks like she's very old. She looks very old, and she looks like she's kind of about to leave this world. She's going to die any moment, you know. There's just no way that she's going to get up and walk, you know. This lady's on her way out, and now these people are wanting a miracle or something, or, you know, and this lady wants to get healed. And he's like, no, this is impossible. It's not going to work, you know. And so he stops looking at her, and he's just closing his eyes, and he's walking up and down the stage, and he's just praying. But he's in his heart, he's thinking, this is never, what are we going to do now? Because this lady's not going to get up, you know, it's never going to work. She is, like, really too old and crippled to be healed. And then he hears people start cheering and stuff like that, and he's too scared to open his eyes, and he's still praying. And I think the next moment, it's like they tell him, no, you can stop praying. She's busy dancing on the stage and everything like that. And so he's like, but he didn't think it could happen. But he says, but someone believed, you know. And that's the power of our faith. And it doesn't come with a title or anything like that. That is destined for every one of God's children. Faith can move mountains. Your faith can move mountains. Your faith can see a cripple healed. We have to believe. You've got to believe. That's what Isaac's message was at night. You've got to believe. And it's awesome. And he talks about his budget. And he says, you know, when your budget adds up, when your income at least matches or maybe it exceeds your expenses, you don't need faith for that. You don't have to believe. But when your budget, when your income is like $5,000 short of your expenses, then you need to have faith. Then you need to believe. That takes faith. And just they've seen God coming through for them in so many different ways, in, you know, month to month. And faith is powerful. The power of belief. The things of God are only as powerful in your life as what they are precious to you. Do you deem the things of God? Do you place the highest value on the word of God? If a doctor tells you, no, but you're sick and you're going to die, are you going to believe that? Or are you going to believe in the word of God that says all things are possible? That says, by the Lord's stripes, I'm healed. What enjoys the highest priority in your life? Do you place the word of God above the word of man? The power of belief. There's many people that have this next to their bedside tables. There's many people that know this book. Just from an intellectual point of view, they know this book. But if you're not going to mix the word of God with faith, if you're not going to add faith, if you're not going to believe what it says, the Bible says it won't profit you anything. It's not good enough just to know the word of God. You need to believe it, and you need to apply it as well. Angus Buchan says, it is written, I believe it, that settles it. If it says here in the word of God, if your circumstances are dictating something and the word of God says no, this is the truth, then you can stand on the word of God until your last breath. You can believe in it. And you can stand on it. And you don't let anything get you off of the word of God or persuade you to think otherwise. This is the truth. And you can believe in it and you can stand on it. And you know what? Sometimes you don't see the results of the word of God with your own eyes or hear of it with your own ears. That doesn't mean that there weren't results. That doesn't mean that the word of God didn't work. If you believed in the word of God and you kept believing in the word of God until the end, there will be results. Remember, Jesus said signs and wonders will follow those who believe. There was a miracle that happened on our mission in East London that God just wanted to show us something and bless us and encourage us on our way forward. And we prayed for someone that was, I can imagine, just like that lady that Isaac Pretorius prayed for. This was literally, this person was just skin and bones. Skin and bones, dying, busy dying of, I think it was HIV-induced TB. And in the Frere Hospital in East London, and we just really felt led just to pray, just spend extended time with this one person, just praying over that person, and we sang, we just praised God and sang over the person at their bedside for quite a while, and we left there, and then one of the team members had promised someone a Bible, and we had run out of Bibles, so then the next day, just before we headed back to Cape Town, we went and bought Bibles, and then we went back to the hospital just to drop it off. And we dropped it off by the head of the ward. And then she said, wow, did you hear what happened? And it's like, no. And that person that we prayed for that didn't have strength to lift a finger was virtually running up and down the corridors in the ward telling everyone how great God is and that they've been healed. An amazing miracle that we would have never known about had the one team member not promised someone a Bible and we had to go back there. We'd never have heard about it. And it would certainly not have been in any newspaper or anything like that. Miracles are happening every day that no one knows about except the person who was touched by God, and they're giving God the glory, and that's how it must be. Signs and wonders will follow those who believe. You can stand on the word of God. It is true. And you can believe it. Jesus didn't go to that sick servant and lay hands on them and anoint them or anything like that. It was through faith that that person was healed. Through faith in God, in God's ability, in Jesus, in who he was. Through faith, that servant was healed. So we pray for someone in the name of Jesus Christ, but the name of Jesus is not a magic word. For many people, they use the name of Jesus as a swear word today, which is certainly the greatest insult for us as believers. But the name of Jesus isn't a magic word. There has to be faith. You have to mix faith with the word of God. We need to come back to our faith in Jesus Christ. There's power in belief. Sometimes our Christianity gets reduced to rituals and ceremonies. So we say, no, but you know, I'm not going to pray unless I've got anointing oil. Okay, I'm not going to pray unless that person comes to pray with me or whatever. And we actually start reducing things to a bunch of laws. And we're getting into almost witchcraft like that. It becomes magic. You know, the anointing oil, that's magical. You know, if you just put a drop of that on, then it's going to do that. And we become ritualistic with things. Things have to happen in a certain way. Or if I don't pray this healing prayer in this specific order, these things have to be in that presence. Our faith becomes formulaic and it loses its power. Because we've actually lost the plot. We've taken our eyes off Jesus and we're looking at some tools here. And we're trying to make it work. We're trying to apply. It's like you got a broken engine in front of you and you've got a toolbox here. And it's like, just, well, if I throw these tools at the engine's going to fix it. No. God gave us amazing tools, but we need to be connected to Him, because every engine that we come to that is broken, there's something different or specific that's wrong with it. And we need the Lord to place His hand on our hand and show us where to turn and what to fix. If Jesus has left the building, that thing's not going to get fixed. You can have a box full of tools. It's about Jesus. We mustn't take our eyes off of Him. Amazing faith builder, reading through the book of Acts. Talk about the power of belief. Talk about God's word in action. Talk about men and women like you and me who had faith and how God used them mightily. Just a couple of snippets out of Acts chapter 3. Firstly, you've got the cripple at the gate and Peter and John were walking past, and Peter saying to him, you know, I don't have money for you, but in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And then in the next chapter, Peter and John were arrested because this miracle caused a huge uproar. And the leaders and elders of the day didn't appreciate the unrest and this new faith that was being proclaimed. There we read the high priest was there, Annas, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power, what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Then they called him in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Your faith is powerful. Your faith in Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ, is powerful when we use it in faith and not in some other way. And so they were being threatened not to continue the work that the Lord had commanded them to do. And we see a few verses later in verse 30, 31, we see the disciples coming together and praying that the Lord would bless them and that He would continue to anoint them to do His work. And they pray, stretch out your hand. They're praying to the Lord to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. Power of belief. You have saving faith. at a minimum, and certainly beyond that as well, there's power available to you, and that's through the indwelling Holy Spirit, because through your saving faith, the Holy Spirit came and dwelt inside of you. And the Holy Spirit has been given to us so that we can be empowered to do God's work. The Holy Spirit is at work in us, firstly perfecting our salvation as we cooperate with Him, but then also overflowing to the people around us. And then there's the anointing. So there's the presence of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives. And then there's a place where we ask Jesus for the fullness or the anointing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where you receive more power to do the Lord's work. And firstly, the Holy Spirit has been given that we can boldly witness to what the Lord has done for us. There's a boldness that comes with that. And then we've recently spoken about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, gifts of miracles and healings and faith and prophetic words and words of knowledge and wisdom and tongues and interpretation of tongues and discerning of spirits, all of these nine gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us. And we see through the book of Acts and the rest of the Bible how the believers were operating and working through these gifts with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the power of faith. You had faith in Jesus dying for you on the cross and being raised from the dead. You had saving faith. I don't know if you have asked the Lord to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. That takes another measure of faith. But if you've got enough faith to ask for it, then you will receive it. And the Lord will perform mighty things through you. We see in Acts 5, verse 12 to 16, the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. So you could see there's definitely something different about the disciples. People are afraid of the unknown. People are intimidated by power. And so you could see that the disciples were certainly doing great things. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. You see, so there's hardly a middle ground. Maybe you can, if you just backtrack the one scripture. You know, the middle ground is the fact that they were highly regarded. So there's the disciples, and then there's the rest of the people. And most of those people are too afraid to go near the disciples. And this is true today as well. So we are here, and we would love more and more people from the community to join us. Because we can see they need help. We can see that they are sick and they are without hope, and we know Jesus Christ is the answer. But many of them are scared to come to church because they don't understand. They feel intimidated. They feel like, how do they fit in? Because that's not their current life experience. They don't want anything to do. There's a divide there. But then there are a group that highly regard. They think, oh, but, you know, they don't have anything against the church, but, you know, the church is, it's good people and whatever. They've got nothing against them. They just don't feel like they belong. And then you've got those that the Lord is busy saving and adding to the church. Verse 14. Nevertheless, so our experience when we go out there, there's people that want nothing to do with us, and then there's people that say, no, you guys are doing good work, but they still don't want anything. They wouldn't feel comfortable here. You know, one day, I might come one day. But nevertheless, the Lord is adding to the church. So there is hardly like a middle ground. You know, it hardly happens that someone feels just a bit more and more comfortable. I don't know. The next slide. As a result, okay, the people in the towns and cities, they saw the demonstration of God's power. As a result, they brought the sick into the streets and they laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some as he passed by. So yes, it doesn't say there that when Peter's shadow passed by that the people were healed, but it is implied. Otherwise, they wouldn't have bothered. Okay? Because what was happening, this is hundreds and hundreds of people. There was a lot of commotion, a lot of excitement around what is busy happening. And they obviously couldn't get to Peter and the disciples because there was thousands of people. And these guys were on a mission. But they knew, they realized that even if Peter's shadow would fall on them, that they would be healed. That's pretty powerful stuff. I don't know if any of us would be able to handle that. But the Lord can do it and He wants to do that. That's what a lot of churches are saying these days. We want to get back to the Church of Acts. And that's true. And that's the early church. That's the first church. That is where it started. And I think we can see it mirrored in our personal journey with the Lord. I spoke about how if you asked me on the first day of my salvation to move a mountain, I'm pretty sure I would have moved a mountain. I had zero doubt. You couldn't tell me anything. You know, you couldn't plant one seed of doubt in my mind because I just experienced the power of God, which I'd never done before. I just experienced it. You know, now I think if we've been Christians for quite a while, we become a bit blasé about these things. We become a bit familiar with the presence of God in our lives and Him working in and through our lives. And I mean, we're not moving from one miracle 1 second to the next miracle the next second. There's some gaps in between. And I think in our heads, we become comfortable in those valleys, in those gaps. And we start thinking like we're living there permanently. And so when you're a new believer, you're on fire for the Lord. When the church started in the book of Acts, the church was on fire for the Lord. Things were happening. People were getting healed when just a shadow passes over them. Powerful, powerful stuff. And I think so many of us, we just want to get back there. And the point is we can. We can. If we get back to core value number one, being passionate about Jesus, because He's the start and He's the end. He's the author and He's the finisher of our faith. There's power in the name of Jesus. Look at what the disciples were doing then. The world needs that today as well. We all suffer from going off the boil from time to time, from becoming lukewarm from time to time. And we just need to crank up the heat again. We just need to crank up the heat. The best way to do that is take some time out, just you and Jesus. Because man, we get distracted by a million different things. We need to just take some time out with Jesus. And I'm convinced, I mean, there's a correlation between the more time we spend with Him, the more on fire we're going to get. It rubs off. When you spend time with someone, if you spend a lot of time with someone, you start doing what they do. You start imitating the people around you. When Johan was telling me the other day, there's a person that phoned him that speaks in a certain way, and 2 minutes later, when Johan is speaking in the same way that person's speaking. When you spend time with Jesus, the more time you spend with Him, the more you're going to start doing what he does and start looking like him. That's the greatest compliment someone can give you, to say, something about you reminds me of Jesus. That is awesome. I'm preaching to myself this morning as well, because I've had that compliment before. I haven't had it in the last few weeks, but I've had that compliment before. Okay. We need to get back there. We need to get on fire for the Lord. Now, our final core value. So, the point was, faith can move a mountain. There's power in our belief. There's power in the name of Jesus. When you add faith to the Word of God, things are going to happen. You can stand on the Word of God. Don't let go of it. Don't let go of God's got amazing promises in His Word. Don't let go of it. No matter what anyone says, you can believe in the Word of God. He's already given this to you. So we are here to encourage one another in our small groups, in our church services. We are here to encourage each other to walk according to this Word. I can't teach you anything. You need to decide whether you're going to believe this or not. And if you believe it, then you're going to follow it. And when you do that, then your world's going to change. And the Lord has given His helper to you. The Holy Spirit is your personal helper to follow the Word of God. So that's all you need. We are just here to encourage each other and to keep each other accountable. To make sure that we are following the Word of God. When we see a brother or sister straying from the Word of God, we must say, hey, what's happening? What went wrong? How can we help you? You need to get back to the Word of God. Don't lose heart. Don't lose hope. This is true. No, you're not seeing the result just yet, but hang on. Wait for it. God is not a liar. It will come to pass. Stand on the Word of God. That's why we're in each other's lives. The power of belief. The fourth core value is the purpose to pursue. Okay, so it's four P's. In terms of our values, very easy to remember. And yeah, I'm going to be really quick. Proverbs 19, verse 21 says that many are the plans in our hearts, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Some of us are better at this than others when it comes to the many plans in our hearts. You see, some people are so creative, or they just can't stop, you know, it's just ticking over the whole time. But it's like a new idea, another new idea, a new idea. You know, it doesn't stop. And that's cool. You need people like that, and it's great, especially if you're working in a team and it is your job to come up with ideas. Okay. If you're one of those people that get a million ideas, maybe don't be disappointed if all of them don't get executed by the people around you, because it is sometimes hard to make all of those things happen. But there's also a place where we have a saying in church, you've got the vision, you've got the job. Okay. There's a place where we need to take responsibility for our ideas. If God truly spoke to you, then He will help you make it happen. Because there's nothing that we can do for God. There's nothing we can do on our own anyway, but there's nothing that we can do for God without His help. And there's nothing that God is going to ask us to do that is within our own ability to do. Everything that He asks us to do is going to be too hard for us to do, and we're going to need His help big time. We're going to need a couple of miracles strung in a row to make it happen, and most likely need other people as well. The callings that God has placed on our lives, I firmly believe, find expression through the local church. God has never intended for any of us to build His kingdom on our own. It is going to be a family affair, a team effort. Okay. And so, but there is this place when God really speaks to you and you believe this of God, He wants you to take responsibility for it. Don't wait for someone else to do it. You take responsibility and you get people around you and they will also have certain pieces of the puzzle that are maybe missing from from what you have heard, because God loves to use many people working together, because it's never just about one person. One person is not meant to take the credit. God is meant to get the glory. And so many are the plans that we have, but the Lord's will prevail. God is so faithful. The word says that he who called you is faithful, and he will also bring it to pass. God will complete the work that he started in you. All, you know, we just sometimes delay what God wants to do. We just sometimes take a long time about doing it. We sometimes go in circles. We sometimes kind of walk a few laps through the desert and unnecessarily when it comes to things that God has asked us to do. But his will prevail. Because more than the task at hand, God cares about you. And he wants you to get there as well. He doesn't want other people to be blessed at your expense. He wants you to go along with them. God's heart is for everyone to be blessed, for everyone to be saved. Not only a few here and there. And so the amazing promise that you can hang on to is found in Romans 8:28. We know it as well. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Okay, so you might not understand right now why certain things are happening in your life, why you're facing certain challenges, why you're just not getting breakthrough, why it feels like you're taking an extra tour around the desert. But what you can be sure of is that God is going with you and that God will bring you through it. You just need to listen more closely. And that God will use even the desert time to your benefit. He will make you stronger. So when you come through this, your faith is going to be stronger than before. God works all things together for the good. And it's not just in your life. Because if God is working all things together for my good, and everyone around me is working all things together for their good, and we've got certain interactions with each other that we don't quite understand, why is this happening? Why are we not on the same page or whatever? That is the place where you put your faith and your trust in God. Thank you, Lord, that you are working everything together, not only for my good, but for all of your children. Because we've been called according to your purpose, and you will bring it to pass in your good time. You know, Lord, that this person just needs a bit of extra time, or this person needs to do this so that this can happen. And God is amazing at multitasking. And most of the time, our thoughts are consumed by our own needs and desires. Our God knows what everyone's needs and desires are. He knows the desires of your heart. He wants to grant you the desires of your heart. But sometimes if we get something, a good thing at the wrong time is not a good thing. God's timing is perfect. He's got a purpose for us to pursue. Each one of us has a calling and a purpose in the Lord. And the good news is that he will bring it to pass. He just wants us to continue cooperating with him. So the Bible teaches us that if we believe that we are saved, well, actually in the Greek, that word is in the present continuous tense, is if we believe and continue believing. So the Lord just requires of us to stay close to him and to keep cooperating with him. Then we will be saved and we will fulfill our purpose in this life. If we stay close to Jesus, if we believe today and we keep on believing. Because the sad truth is that it is possible for you to lose your salvation if you choose to turn away from God and walk the other way. Yes, you can lose your salvation. Because God doesn't interfere in our free will. He wants us to choose Him. But I believe that we've all tasted and seen God's goodness. And that if it was just up to us, we would never turn away from Him. And the enemy will obviously try and drive a wedge between us and God as well. But if the enemy tries to do that and I genuinely love the Lord, there's no way the enemy can do that. So my God is more powerful, and I'll just ask the Lord to help me with that, that the Lord rebukes the enemy on my behalf in that space. But God is so good. He has given us life. He has given us a reason to live, and He will help us to fulfill that reason. We each have a purpose in common, and that is to become like Jesus Christ. And that will take our whole lives, and maybe we'll get close, and then, but we won't quite get there, except when we get to meet Him, then face to face, we'll be transformed in an instant. That doesn't mean you must wait now until that day. We have to just stay close to Jesus and keep obedient to Him. And then each of us has a very specific calling, which you can also categorize in the area of purpose, and each one of ours is different. You've got your unique person with a unique personality and a unique gift and skill set and a unique set of people that you'll meet through the course of your life, the people that you've been called to serve. And therefore, each of our callings will look slightly differently. And again, the Lord will help you to fulfill that. So I just want to leave you with two questions. Well, the first one, okay, well, what is your purpose? Do you know what your purpose is? I've told us what our common purpose is, or reminded us, and then just in addition to that, what specifically is your purpose? And then just to maybe say it in a different way, the next slide. I can ask, if I leave these two questions with you, who are you? Or maybe one can rephrase it, whose are you? Who are you, and what are you doing here? You've got to be able to answer that question. If someone you've never met before, some prophet of the Lord comes to you, and he's asking, so now you know it's a deep question. Sounds like a simple question, but it's actually deep. Okay, so it's not actually, you must be able to answer it in one sentence, but you can also write a book about it. Okay, it's deep like that. But you need to know the answer to those two questions. I don't care if you write a one page or a 10 page or give it to me in one sentence, but you need to be able to answer that question. Otherwise, it's likely that you're really discontented and unfulfilled if you can't answer those questions. Do you know who you are, and do you know what you're doing here? And here means on this earth at this time. Let's pray together, and the band's just going to come up. I just want to pray for us, and then we're just going to close with a song of worship. And then I want to invite you, if you want to pray around any of these things, if the Lord is laying something on your heart, I'd love to pray with you, just come into agreement with you around these things, and trust the Lord maybe just to show us something while we're praying together. So as soon as we finished worshiping, yeah, and even while we're worshiping, you're welcome just to come forward. We'd love to pray with you, and then please enjoy some tea and cake afterwards. But just want to pray for us, if we can just bow our heads and close our eyes. Oh, Father, we just want to thank you, Lord God, that you have called us as your own special people. and you've placed your Spirit within us, Lord. Lord, we didn't find you. You found us. You saved us. It's by grace that we have been saved through faith. But firstly, grace, Lord, is what you did on the cross for us long before we were born. You made provision for us. We never asked for it. We didn't even know we needed it, but you did it, Lord. In your providence, Lord, you're so good to each of us. Thank you that we can be here this morning and that we can be encouraged, Lord, as we worship you together, as we look at Scripture, Father, that we can know that we have a loving Father in heaven that has given us life, that has made all things possible for us, that has given us a purpose on this earth. I pray, Lord God, that you will water those seeds of destiny in our hearts and that you will reveal to us in due time, Lord, if we don't know this morning, what our specific purpose is in this time. Because we know, Lord, that you don't make mistakes and you have called us for a time such as this. It is not a coincidence that we are alive in this day and age and in this place, that we have these abilities and gifts and people around us, Lord God. You have called us for a time such as this. I ask, Lord, that you'll encourage each of us by your Spirit, that you'll encourage us in our innermost being, that you'll strengthen our faith and our resolve to live for you and for you alone. Thank you, Lord God, that you have adopted us. We are your sons and daughters. We are part of your family, that we represent you in this earth. We are your ambassadors. Lord, sometimes we realize that that is a heavy responsibility. That we'll be judged by what we say and do. And that it will reflect on you, Lord, as well. So, Lord, I ask that you also place a guard in front of our tongues, Lord, that we will not speak idle words or Father, that we would bring glory to your name in all we say and do. Help us more and more. Help us, Lord, to discover, Father, the amazing calling that you've placed on each of our lives. Help us to walk in that. Lord, it's not automatic that we'll walk in your purpose for us. It's not a case of open doors and closed doors. Come what may, whatever happens will happen. It must have been predestined. No, Lord. You have a specific purpose for us. And you invite us to seek you, Lord, for answers, to seek you for direction, and to ask you for help to walk in it. Because even if we know what it is, Lord, that we are called to do, we will not automatically walk in that, Father. There's a way that we should walk in. And Lord, sometimes all of us stray from the path, but thank you, Lord, that you are there, that you want to help us get back on the path. I pray for those, Lord, that have fallen by the wayside here this morning. Lord, that know that they are not on the path that you have ordained for them. I ask that you will help them this morning to commit to getting back on that road and to staying the course. That they will ask you for help, Lord, when they are feeling weak, where they've been tempted to stray, steer to the left or the right. That you'll help them back, Lord. Thank you that you are abundant to pardon, that you are ready to forgive as we confess our sins to you, Lord. You cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We praise you for that, Lord. We thank you for that. So I pray, Lord, that you'll help us answer those two questions, who we are and what we're doing here, that you will show us, Lord, because those Those questions only get answered in relationship with Jesus Christ. It's only in you, Lord, that we live and move and have our being. It's only in you, Lord, that life's questions get answered. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Please stand with me. I just want us to just close with a song of worship. And if you'd like some prayer, if you feel there's just some a burden in your heart and you just want to bring it to the Lord, I just want to invite you to do business with God and be serious about the things of God.